We're here on Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis, four lines down from the bottom, Toshma. We're trying to establish, based on our Mishnah, that Simonim Adoraisa. The Mishnah says, Afa Simla Haisa B'chlal Kol Elu. Simla was included under Kol Avedas Achicha in the Pasuk V'lama Yotzas. Why did the Torah have to go out of its way to mention Simla? Lahakish Elev V'lomar Ma Simla Miyuchedes Sheyesh La Simonim Yesh La Tovim Chayev Avkol Chayev La'achris Avkol Dov Sheyesh Bo Yesh La Simonim Yesh La Tovim Chayev. From this drasha of Simla, we can certainly derive that according to our Mishnah, the Chiyuv Hakraza is Doraisa based on Simonim. You find an Aveda that is similar to Simla that has Simonim. Let's prove from Aveda that Simonim are Doraisa. The Torah recognizes the efficacy and validates Simonim. Now, Rabbeinu Tam, earlier in Tosfos Dibur Maschil Ma, understands that if we derive from Simla that Yeush is meaningful in Aveda, it means Ma Simla Yeush Li Simonim V'Al Yedei Kach Yeush La Tovim. As we analyzed in the previous shiur, it's not two different categories, Yeush La Tovim and La Tovim, something that's Hefker, Bamina Hefker, as Rashi says, but rather, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's because Simla has Simonim, and therefore there is Tovim, meaning that there's no Yeush, and Yeush is Kona in Aveda. So anything that has a simon, and through the simon he, the owner will be able to be tovea it, and he'll gain a hashav of, he'll retrieve his object, whereas something where these yeush, the bailam have no hope to get it back, you don't have to return it. So what's the raya from this mission of Simla, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that simonim are d'oraisa, to clarify who is the Baal Aveda? Maybe what the Pasuk is telling me is that a Simla that has Simonim, Al Yedei Kach, since it has Simonim, there'll be Tovim, which means, as we discussed in yesterday's shiur, that through Simonim we'll be able to find Edim, we'll be able to find witnesses who can testify about his object, that he lost it, and therefore he's not Misyayish. But it doesn't prove that Simonim is really an effective a Torah-recognized method of identifying an object. So Rabbeinu Peretz comes along, and he claims that if you look at the language of the Mishnah, it would seem to indicate that through Simonim themselves, you return the Aveda. Not the way Rabbeinu Tam said it, that because of Simonim, the Bailam are not going to be Misyayish, and there's Yesh Lo Tovim. Because the Tana of our Mishnah uses the language Yesh Lo Simonim and Yesh Lo Tovim. In other words, there are two different drushos from Simla. Simla is the paradigm for Hashavas Aveda, has two different dimensions. It's special in two ways. Number one, it's Yesh La Tovim. And number two, it's Yesh La Simonim. And we're going to return it because of the Simonim. And that would only make sense if the Torah recognizes the efficacy of Simonim. And therefore, Simonim are Doraisa. But as far as Rabbeinu Tam is concerned, L'chora, the Yeshla Simonim, in the case of Simla and Amishna, is not a valid proof that Simonim are Doraisa. So this Hama, meaning the Gemara, has to be taken under advisement according to Rabbeinu Tam. The Gemara rejects it. Tana Tovim Itztrichle. Simonim Kedi Nazba. Really what the Mishnah, the Tana of Amishna, wants to derive from Simla is that it's got to be Tovim. In other words, once there's Yeush, Yeush is mafkir bailus, Yeush makes it hefker, and therefore there's no tovim, and there's no chiv hashava. Simonim, it was just mentioned, agav urcha, simonim here is only a takona derabona, that's not the thrust of the drasha from the word simla. So that even though simonim lav d'orais, the Mishnah mentions derech agav, so to speak, by the by, it mentions simonim because of the takonas chachamim of simonim. And the Ritvas further embellishes the Gemara, the intention of the Gemara here, that the drasha primarily is that we don't return something that has no tovim. In other words, something that the Bailam would misyayish mimenu. The Tana mentions simonim to tell you that min rabbanan there is a concept called simonim. And that means that you can clarify who lost this object, who is the real true owner of this object, based on simanim, and that is a rabbinic institution, it's a drabanan. These simanim, obviously, now that the Bailam has the ability to retrieve his aveda through simanim, midrabanan now is going to prevent yeush. But on a deraisa level, the only way of returning, of establishing the ownership of the Bailam and achieving the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda LeBailam is only if there could be some clarification through Edim that this was his lost object. Toshma, we can bring a raya from a different drasha that we had back here on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, that we return a chamor. Why did the Torah mention chamor? B'simonei Ukov. Meaning, the chamor itself has no distinguishing mark, but rather it is the ukaf, the saddle, that has a distinguishing mark. And therefore, through chamor, we're going to derive the concept of simon, meaning once the Torah recognizes the efficacy of a simon with regard to the ukaf, which means that the Baal HaUkaf can identify his Ukaf through Simonim, then we will return to him the Ukaf, I'm sorry, the Chamar as well. Vice versa, we see from this that Simonim Adoraisa, the Gemara rejects it and says, E'ema B'Edei Ukaf. Perhaps what we're talking about in this drasha of Chamar is that two Edim recognize the Ukaf as belonging to Shimon. They testify in his behalf that it's his. We return it based on Eidus, not based on Simonim. And the reason why we're going to return the Chamar is not because of Simonim Doraisa, but on the basis of Eidus. And the Eidus is on the Heftza of the Ukaf. The reason why the Ma'abed has rights now to retrieve his chamor is because we assume that if this chamor is wearing, we're assuming that the ukaf is being worn by a chamor who the owner of which is the owner of the ukaf. Meaning, let's say it simply, the owner of the ukaf is the owner of the chamor. And therefore, if we can establish in this case with Edim that it is Shimon who lost the Ukaf, then we can thereby establish that Shimon is also the proud owner of the Chamor. Toshma, we have a raya from a braisa in the parasha of Hashavas Aved. It says, V'im lo karov achicha elecha v'lo yedato v'asafto tok beisecha v'hoya imcha adrosh achicha oso. And this Adrosh Achicha Oso drosh that we're about to learn is perhaps the most famous drosh of all in the parasha of Hashavas Aveda. V'chisal al daitcha shi'itnenu lo kodem shidrushenu. What does it mean that the finder should be a shomer, should watch the object, take it into his house, take good care of it, tipul, until such time as his friend knocks on his door to demand that the object be returned to him? Was there a habamina that you would return it to him if he's not knocking on the door? There's no one who's being mavakesh. Why would you give it back to anybody? So what did the Torah mean when it added Adrosh Achicha Oso? Ella says, the Gemara, Dar Sheyu im Ramai hu o eino Ramai. In other words, when you find an object, don't just give it back to the first guy who knocks on your door claiming it's his. The Torah puts you into a position where you are now obligated to investigate whether he's telling the truth or not. The fact that he's knocking on your door saying it's mine, that doesn't prove anything. My love, says the Gemara, what does this mean? Darshehu Shaloye Ramai. How are you gonna determine that it's his when he comes and claims it? B'simonim. He says, I can tell you that there's a red mark under the cow's ear or something like that. So he's not a Ramai. Lo, says the Gemara, be Edim. He, the claimant who's claiming that it's his and he lost it, he has to adduce Edim, who will testify to the effect that this cow was lost by him. But Enochinami, Simonim would not serve as a valid proof to establish his ownership because simonim lav d'orais. And again, we're going back to the Torah itself. Adrosh achicha oso is darsheu im ramayhu im eno ramay. The only way the Torah would validate such a drosha, a drisha, to be doreshim, and to clarify beyond a shadow of doubt that he, the claimant, is really the rightful owner, is only through Edim, but not through simonim, because simonim lav d'oraisa.
Tosis Dibra Masil Darsheu at the top of the Amud is wondering about this Havamina. The Gemara thinks that darsheu my lav be simonim. Had the Gemara think that this drasha was for simonim, the pasuk is telling me not to return an object to a ramai, even in a case where he gave simonim. We're afraid that maybe he knew about this simonim because he saw the object in the hands of someone else, or at one point he was the shomer, etc., etc. Meaning, the Torah is really telling you darsheu be'edim. So what was Gemara thinking? No, darsheu be'simonim. And Tosis answers that later on, the drasha of the Mishnah is an asmachta, it's not a drasha gemura. But then Tosis gives another answer, that the Mishnah later on is talking about a case where we know he's a Ramai, and that's why he needs Edim. So any proof that you'll bring from the Mishnah that you need Edim, that's only because of extenuating circumstances. Like, for example, we know that the person who's claiming the object is Bechezkas Ramai. The Ritva says about that Mishnah, again, Tosis was bothered because the Mishnah says that we don't return an object to a Ramai even if he gives simonim. And Tosis answers because he, the claimant, is Bechezkas Ramai. The Ritva says that the Mishnah later on is talking about Takaris Chachamim that was instituted not to return an Aveda to Ramoyim, but on a Torah level, there's no chiluk between a Ramai and anyone else. So the Gemara understands that the pasuk here that's telling me you have to be Dorishim is Dorsheu b'simonim. Again, the Chachamim use that pasuk as an asmachta to derive that if he's a Ramai, we're not going to allow Hachzoras HaAveda b'simonim. The Ramai will only have rights to claim his object if and when he can bring Edim. The Rambaniya has a question. If you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maschil B'Edim, let's just take a minute to read this Rashi. He says, Sheyavi Edim Shehu Shalo. So Ramban wants to know, why would we need a Pasuk, Darsheu, to bring Edim? I mean, after all, certainly we return an object to someone based on Edim. I mean, that's Pshita. And perhaps you'll say that the pasuk is coming to exclude Simonim, and that's the thrust of the Chiddush of this Drasha. That also, L'chora, doesn't need a pasuk, because if there's no source in the Torah that Simonim are effective, why do we need a pasuk to tell me, Lafuki, that Simonim are not effective? And the Ramban answers that this pasuk, according to the Gemara's argument here, is coming to teach you that you have to return an aveda even if there's edus only on the ariga. In other words, the edim can testify that it once certainly belonged to him because he wove the object, he created it, but the edim never saw the actual nefila, that this woven sweater or whatever garment it was fell from him. And therefore you might argue logically that there's no proof that this Aveda belongs to the Oreg, because maybe he sold it to someone, he gave it to someone as a gift. And that's the Chiddush, the Gevaldige Chiddush of this Pasuk, that Edus, in this case, is reliable, is sufficient to be Machzor the Aveda, even though, logically, there could have been a way of not relying on the Edim. The Rashba offers a different answer. He says that we need the pasuk to tell us that we do not return a lost object with simonim. The Ramban's argument, what would have been the source for simonim? We have no source for simonim. The Torah has to come lafuki from simonim. He says the svara would be enough. A person tells us the simonim, and in this case, we don't need edus because we're not coming to take mamon out of its chazaka. The finder is not muchzak, he's just looking for the owner.
and therefore simanim should be sufficient. Kamash Balon, the pasuk wants to tell me, no, you need edim.
Rabbeinu Peretz answers that maybe we need, according to the Mishnah, edus in the case of a Ramai, and you might have thought that in the case of a Ramai, even edus wouldn't be sufficient.
Toshma, we learned in Yevamos, on Daf Kuf Chaf, a Mishnah that deals with Misa Sabal. We need, in order to be Matunashis Ish, we need two Edom to testify that they recognized the body, the corpse of so-and-so. Is Ein Me'idim, they cannot testify that so-and-so died to be Matur his wife. Ela Al Partzuf Aponim. Unless they've seen most of his face. That's called Partzuf Haponim. That's what was left Nebuch after he died. Imachotim, it's not enough that they see, let's say, the cheekbones or the cheeks. They also have to see the chotem, which is the nose. If, let's say, they didn't see the partzuf, or they saw the partzuf, but his nose was removed, they cannot testify. They didn't see enough of his face to identify the body. Afal pishayesh simanim begufo ubekelov. And the Mishnah says that even though there are other simanim on the body itself that would indicate that this is the deceased, and we'll see what that means, either a, you know, some sort of adhesion, you know, a dermatological a lesion on his body, or a wart, or something of that, or maybe the size of his body, the height, and so forth and so on. Or they saw an identifying mark on the beggar that he was wearing. In all these cases, there's no raya to be matereshes ish. Ishmamino simonim lav doraisa. Why can't the simonim on his kalim be enough to identify him and allow his wife to get married if simonim are recognized and validated by the Torah? Amri, the Gemara says, that's not a proof at all. In truth, simonim are reliable according to the Torah law. But what simonim are we talking about that the Mishnah excludes? In the case of Gufo, it's a case of the Aroch v'Gutz. They want to know whether he's tall or he's short. In other words, what are the dimensions of the body? And that's not reliable, because there are many people out there who are either short or tall. And that's what Rashi points out here. Ein zeh simon shaharbe aruchim vegotzim yesh. That's not unique and doesn't distinguish him. And kalev, why do we exclude simonim on the kalim? D'chayshinin l'she'ela. We're worried about the fact that he's wearing someone else's clothing. So you can't be mater that someone else's wife, because that someone else is not really dead. You know, the dead body has barred his kalim, but he himself is alive and well. And we have to be choshesh that maybe he was mashil them, his kalim, to somebody else. And that other person is the person that they saw dead, but not the person who owns the kalim. Now, I wanted to mention to you once again the question here of the Ramban. And he's saying that if you're going to be shoel for she'ela, then, and the Gemara is trying to defend the position that simonim doraisa, how can you be machzer simonim, be machzer aveda with simonim? Why not say that the guy who's claiming the object, let's say he's claiming this beged, maybe he borrowed it from someone else? And the Ramban says that a shoel, somebody who borrows, would not be a bucky in the simoni achefetz. It takes a long time until you analyze, you meticulously observe the object, and you want to recognize it simonim. That's not something that's typical of a shoel. The Ramban's second answer, though, is that there's a mimon of shach over here. If the person who lost it when the object was in the yad shoel, then he himself is obligated to return it to the mashil. So even if we return the chefetz to the person who identifies with the siman and he's only the shoel, then that's just as good, because he's going to be obligated to return it back to the mashil. Of course, we could always raise the issue that maybe we should be choshesh that the shoel will not return it to the mashil. But the premise is that the mashil is going to come and claim from the shoel his object. He's going to know about the fact that the object wasn't returned to him, it must have been lost, and he's going to say to the shoel, you know, after Bezdin paskens that we return it to the shoel, hey, I'm the mashil, you have to give it back to me. The Ramban is bothered further. Why didn't the Gemara ask from a Mishnah back on Chav Dalet? The Mishnah says that if you find peros in a kli, then you have to be machzir, not only the kli, but also the peros, through the siman of the kli. And you see clearly from that Mishnah that we're not choshesh l'she'ela. Because if we're choshesh for she'ela, even though the claimant comes forward and identifies the kli, that doesn't prove that the peros belonged to him. Maybe the peros, you know, were Reuven's, and he lent his kli to Shimon. And Shimon put peros in there. So when Reuven comes to identify his kli, he doesn't have rights to the peros because Shimon, who borrowed the kli from him, is the one who put the peros inside, and the peros belong to Shimon and not to Reuven. And the Ramban answers that the Gemara doesn't want to ask from that Mishnah because you could possibly say that Mishnah is talking midrabanan, and that's why we return the peros. They made a takana, and within the context of the takana, the rabbanan, they weren't choshish l'she'ela. But now we're dealing with the pasuk. The pasuk says chamar, that we return the chamar to the person who gives simonim to the okef. That's doraisa. And that's why the Gemara asks the kasha of how can we return the chamar? We have to be choshish l'she'ela. So again, let's go back to the Gemara itself. You know, the Rabbanon could say we're not choshesh l'sheila, but the Torah has to be choshesh l'sheila. So how do you return the okef in the case of chamor? How do you turn the chamor in the case of the simon on the ukof? Amri, the Gemara answers, ukof lo shi'ule inshe ukfa. Ukofa. There's certain things you don't lend out. And some say you don't lend your car because you'll never get it back in the same state. Here we don't lend a saddle, mishum de mesakev le lechamor. Saddles are, shall we say, custom made to fit the chamor. And if they're not custom made, then the saddle will get ruined. Now, since the ukof has to fit the animal's body, if it doesn't fit well, and of course, you know, when you're riding the chamor and the saddle, if it's not perfectly fit to the body, the animal is going to move around, then as a result of all this movement, it's going to cause an injury to the chamor. Therefore, the case of a chamor and an ukof is an exception to the rule. We assume that the owner of the ukaf and the owner of the chamor are one and the same, both belong to the same person, but as far as the general universal category of all other objects, there is a regilus, it's quite common, and we can predict that there will be she'ela, you lend it and you borrow it, and therefore there's no proof from the fact that you find a dead body and you could identify it by its begadim, that the person who lies here dead is the person who owns the begadim. Maybe the begadim belong to Reuven, and yet they are being worn by Shimon. Shimon died and not Reuven. Ibai Sem, the Gemara gives a second answer to reconcile the Mishnah in Yevamis with the premise that Simonim are Doraisa, but with Choshesh for She'ela, and that is Kelov Bechivare Uvesumke. That the kalim in which the vis-a-vis which the witnesses are testifying are, they're testifying on these begadim, they're either red, that's called sumke, or they were white, that's called chivare. And there are many kalim, many begadim that have that color or that color, and therefore the Mishnah excludes it. But if it was a really good, reliable simon, then chinami simonim do'oraisa. Now, the Gemara said earlier, as we just saw, that it's not the derech to be shoel and ukof. And the Gemara now asks the question, Elaha de Sanya, we have a brayso in Gittin regarding a shliach that lost a get, and then he found it. kosher bechis, if he finds that this get was tied down to a purse that has money in it, or be arniki, or a larger kind of pocketbook, uvitabas, or there was a ring that was attached, that was, you know, sort of sewn through the get, or shemotzo ben kelov, or the shliach finds the get amongst his other properties, possessions, afilu zman meruba, even though he lost the get quite a bit earlier, a long time ago, nevertheless kosher, the get is kosher, and we can allow the shliach to give and deliver the get to the isha. And here we see quite clearly that we are relying on simonim, the simonim of the kiss, the simonim of the arniki. V'isal kedait chayshina l'she'ela, ki motza kosher v'kiss, amai kosher nechush l'she'ela. Even though there is a simon on the kiss, or on the tabas, or on the arniki, nevertheless, who says that the get belongs to the same person who lost the kiss on the arniki? Maybe it was lent, there was a borrowing process, ilisha'ela, that hishil shliach haget es kiso liacher. He actually gave his, the shliach haget gave his kiss to someone else on a temporary basis to lend it to him, and the get was tied down to that kiss, but it doesn't prove that since Shimon owns the kiss, therefore Reuven is therefore Shimon is the owner of the get. So if, let's say, for example, the shliach is Shimon, and he's saying, well, it's certainly the get that I lost because it's connected to this tabas. No, maybe the tabas was only lent, it was borrowed, and in effect, it was lost by someone else. And that someone else is the true owner of the tabas and the kiss. How can you return the get to the shliach based on the simonim of the kiss and the tabas? You're giving the get to the wrong person. Amri, the Gemara answers, kiss, v'arniki, v'tabas. These three objects, lo mishlei inshi, they belong to that same category as ukaf. They're not something that people give out. They don't lend it. And the Gemara analyzes that kis v'arniki mishum demesamne, which means that a person is afraid to give out a kiss in an arniki, and this has to do with mazolos. Again, this is something that lechora borders on nichush. Tosfos is going to have a whole discussion. Why isn't there a problem of nichush, a certain superstitious practice? You don't give away, you don't lend your kiss or your arniki. Because people think that if someone lends his kiss to another person, then the shoel is going to take his mazel. And a tabas, mishum demezayif, because every tabas has the seal of the person who owns the tabas. And by giving this tabas to someone else, that person will be able to imitate his seal, right, his chosem. He'll be able to copy that surah, and therefore he will use it as a matter of ziyuf. We'll stop here. Mr. Shem will continue in the next shiur.